So let's talk about wrestling.
Well, we can talk about politics.
Well,
I'm
wrestling is
joking. Don't do that.
Okay, so we're going to start off with AEW. What did you think of last night's AEW? Okay, what happened? Did you fart? What happened?
If you don't know, that means it was shit. I
Oh, wow.
don't normally shit on AEW, but it was shit. Let's get to it.
I've heard a lot of the opposite, but I have my criticisms on like two things, but like that's it. Everything else was just like, eh, it was there. It was there.
Yeah, but those two things were like the main
Not really. Not the two
focus.
things
Really, not the two
I'm
things.
But
Oh, okay.
so the show opened up
So
with
the show opened
Orange
up with
Cassidy getting, but no, first off, we saw the
Orange
Elite come up.
Cassidy getting
And they all came up, and then all of a sudden, here comes Jack Perry in another car. And security tried to stop him, and they were like, no, he's with us. Like, oh.
was funny when they came up. I thought he was the driver.
Wow. He came in his own car, and he got out, and they all went in, and they said, you'll see what's going on later. I was like, okay, cool. So then we get to the first match, which was Orange Cassidy just getting thrown out of the fucking entrance and beat up by Trent Barretta. Am I
He
mistaken?
beat
Because,
the
yeah, I will. Orange Cassidy was coming out for a match, or like he just, what was happening there? Like it just happened?
It just happened. Like they didn't explain. Like it was supposed to be a match. I don't know if it was supposed to be a match between them two, to be honest with you. I don't know. Like they just said next match. They didn't even say what the next match. I don't even think Orange Cassidy was advertised for a match. I know the choice was supposed to be made. That's all I know.
Yeah, that's all I know too. And like Orange Cassidy, his music played, he got beat up. And then Trent Barretta called out Chuck. And he's like, listen, like, he's supposed to be, like, he's not supposed to be with us. It was never supposed to be about him. It's supposed to be about me and you. And Chuck just
He
goes,
was our mascot, I believe he said.
yes. And then Chuck just goes, he was never my friend. Oh, okay, cool. And then he just challenges Trent to a fight next week. We're going to have a brawl. Oh, okay.
Because he's still not clear to wrestle or something.
So why is he having a brawl?
That's my logic with it. If you're not clear to wrestle, how are you clear to brawl? Like, in all legality, you shouldn't be allowed to do that.
Exactly. So then we had a Jon Moxley promo talking about how he was going to kill Will Hobbs tonight. And he really didn't give a damn about the Don Callis family. None of those guys. I don't really give a shit. But I'm going to beat the shit out of somebody because I'm the IWGP champion. Okay. Wasn't against it.
AEW needs to fix their audio because the audio was off in this.
Oh,
Like
the
you
whole
pointed out
thing.
to me, like I thought I was going crazy, and then you pointed out, and I'm like, okay, I'm not crazy.
No, because I thought I was crazy. I was like, oh, the audio was off. And then, like, I looked on Twitter and everybody was just like angry that the audio was off. I was like, oh, so it's not just me. It just was really bad audio. So this is the point that pissed me off. Because next, Nana came out and said, the world champion Swerve. And Swerve just comes out and he just gets right to the match with Kyle Fletcher. And it's like, hold on, wait a minute. He just won that title against Samoa Joe. He's supposed, like, there's no celebration, there's no nothing, no fanfare. It's just, all right, just get to the match. There was nothing behind it. It was like, yo, he's the new world champion. He's the first ever black world champion. He's the new champion. It's like, nah, fuck it. They just went to a match. No, like, no congratulations, no nothing. It just was match. That pissed me off.
No, I agree with you. It felt like he was like a throwaway champion. Like, okay, the champion, fuck it, who cares? That's the way it came across.
Yeah, that's how it came across to me. And it's like, and people that complain and go, oh my God, they didn't do that for everybody. They did that for Willow later on in the show. And it's like, You could have did something for him. It's just like he just comes out in the match and it's just like he's just another guy with the belt. He doesn't even feel special. Like, this was the first match, technically. Like, it just felt like a nothing. And it was like, how do you drop the ball so... Swerve is the guy. It's like, he's just some guy now. Fuck it. He won the title, and it's like, they didn't even give a fuck. And it's like, I can't wrap my head around it. I just cannot wrap my head around this. Like, it didn't make any sense. And then here's the response from Tony Khan. Here's a response from Tony Khan about that. Tony Khan goes... It's just a bunch of bad faith grifters that are upset that we didn't give Swerve something, but we're doing it on Collision. And it's like, no, there's no bad faith grifters just mad about this. Everybody's mad about this. I've seen so many people just upset with, like, they just threw Swerve out there like that. Like, no, nothing. Just threw him out there. What the fuck? Yeah. Like, it's so weird. It's so weird.
Disrespectful.
Very disrespectful. And on Collision, he's going to have his celebration, finally. And it's like, you should have did it on Dynamite when everybody's supposed to be watching. You're like, no, we're going to do it on Dynamite. I'm like, okay.
That was ass backwards. Like, the match should have happened on Collision, and the celebration should have happened, like, on Dynamite.
Yeah, it would have been so much better. It would have been like, he came out, he did the celebration, and then Kyle Fletcher and Don Callis' family was like, yeah, we want to fight. All right, cool. You're going to fight on Collision. Like, all right, bet. But at least he got a celebration. But, like, now it's like, nah, fuck you and your celebration. It's like, I don't understand what's going on right there. Yeah, and it's just really weird.
Because also, why this match? Like, it was no rhyme, no reason to it. It just got thrown together. Had the celebration. Mm-hmm. Don Callis came out, made the challenge, you know, it would make more sense to me. You tell me if I'm wrong about that.
No, it would have made more sense to everybody, but they just threw this match together. It's not like it was a bad match. It's just the way that they did Swerve. They just didn't appreciate him as champion. And it's just like, I don't get it. Like, he's the world champion. He's the guy. And it's like, eh. And then while he's wrestling, they cut to the back in, like, the small screen, and you see the Elite going to Tony Khan's office. And it's like, this is your world champion. Like, are you guys not? What is happening here? It was so weird.
Like, they gave no fucks.
Yeah, it just pissed me off. It was like, he should have been celebrated. He's a champion. He dethroned Joe. And the first thing he does is come out there and wrestle. Nothing. Just nothing. It's just like, that's so ass backwards. Like, I feel bad for him because it's like, he didn't do anything. And they just like, nah, we're just going to make you look like shit. Like, you're going to have a good match, but, like, that's about it. No celebration, no nothing. Okay. It was weird. It was a good match. He beat Kyle Fletcher, but it was over. So, then we get Thunder Rosa and Deonna Purrazzo, and they just start fighting. And they have a justified reason to fight because Thunder Rosa had the match, but Deonna Purrazzo kind of distracted her, kind of, and she's mad at her for that. So I'm like, it makes sense. It definitely makes sense because, like, they should have fought before this.
No, definitely. Like, I don't know why it hasn't happened until now.
Yeah, because, like, they keep beefing with each other, but that was nothing came about it. So then they showed Bryan Danielson and Will Ospreay match. It was like, okay, cool. Well, not they showed the match. They showed some of the match. So then we get Mina Shirakawa versus Anna Jay. And Mina comes out with Mariah May. That was interesting.
Right.
So Mina winds up beating Anna Jay. And Mariah May comes in to celebrate with her. But then here comes Toni Storm, because Mariah May got attacked by Anna Jay, and Toni comes out to save her. Toni beats the shit out of Anna Jay, and she just looks at Mina Shirakawa, but she's holding Mariah May. So that's Forbidden Door. But then also, while all of this has happened, Serena Deeb comes out, and because the audio is so jacked up, you have no idea what she's saying. I thank God that all she did was grab the belt And you know exactly what that meant. She grabbed the belt. It's like, all right, Serena Deeb is going for the championship. And it's like, you couldn't hear shit because like she's talking and you're just like, what? What are you saying?
For all we know, she grabbed the belt just because and challenged Mariah May. Obviously, that's not what happened, but the bad audio, that could have been a thing.
Yeah, because this was so weird. It's like, what the fuck? So then we had a real championship celebration because Stokely and Chris Statlander come out and they set up for the Willow celebration. Willow comes out and she thanks everybody and she says she was an extra there in Daly's place when during the pandemic and she wanted to be cool in this. Also a little nice nod to Willow from before in Ring of Honor. They had Caprice Coleman on commentary because he does this whole like Willow stick where he just like sings her song and puts words to it. And it's really funny. And that was cool. I like that.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, no, that's a thing that Caprice Coleman always did when Willow would come out. Cause every time she used to wrestle in Ring of Honor, he was on commentary with him and Ian Riccaboni, and he would just start singing and making up words because her song doesn't have any words. But Caprice Coleman always did that. And that was always, it was like his Ring of Honor trope with her, and that was really cool.
Cool.
So as she's celebrating, Mercedes Moné comes out, and she says, well, I'm going to challenge you with Double or Nothing, blah, blah, blah. And they just set stuff up. Now, this is a little twist that a lot of people are saying. Wouldn't it be funny if, and I kind of see it because I looked at the footage again. So Chris Statlander pushes Mercedes, and Mercedes just slaps Willow, and Chris Statlander just moves out the way. And it's like, huh. Someone was like, wouldn't it be crazy if Mercedes got Chris Statlander and Stokely to go with her and leave Willow? Like, you know what? That would kind of be weird, but eh, it's a thing.
I could see that, because the whole thing, it's all about the money. So, you know, she probably paid them off.
It could
Stokely would definitely do it.
But remember, Chris Statlander was always nice to her ever since she got there.
True.
So then we go backstage again. We see Jack Perry leaving Tony Khan's office. And then you see the Bucks leaving Tony Khan's office. And Alex Marvez is trying to get to the end of this. And Alex Marvez is like, hey, guys, what happened? And Matthew says, hey, later on tonight, Tony Khan is going to get in the ring and he's going to talk to Jack Perry. And at that moment, I was like, oh, I know where this is going. So then we had the most confusing thing in the world, because Switchblade came out and then Dante Martin came out. And I thought this was just a match between them. And then they go, no, this is a casino gauntlet. Whoever wins this gets a shot at the international title. So like, okay. And I thought that you could eliminate people from throwing them over. No, you have to pin somebody, and the person who gets the pin gets the shot. I was like, oh.
People got thrown over the rope like multiple times, and they're like, wait, how do you eliminate people? Like, I asked you.
Yeah, this was a really weird thing. They didn't say the concept of like how this goes. And for anybody out there, it's like, no, they did. No, they didn't. They didn't say it at all. So,
oh, and one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice it actually wasn't elimination, though? It was one fall to the finish.
Yes. Like,
just one fall.
That's what I said.
Yes. Oh, my bad. I didn't hear you cut off. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So they're going. We had a couple of spots with Will Ospreay and Kyle O'Reilly. We had Will Ospreay and Jay White. And then Lance Archer came out and just murdered everybody multiple times.
Did he?
This was so random and weird. But Will wound up pinning Commander. And now Will Ospreay is going to take on Roderick Strong at Double or Nothing for the international title.
I'm okay with that.
Oh, no, I'm totally fine with that. I love that idea. because if we're going with Will versus Swerve at Wimbledon, we have to keep Will away from the title a little bit. And how do you keep him away from a title? Give him another title.
Yep.
So, yeah, that makes perfect sense. So, yeah, I'm all for it. And plus, the match is going to be a banger. Like, it's going to be a fucking banger.
Yeah.
So, add that another one to Will's catalog of winning matches. So, then we had the
learning. Undefeated still, right?
Yes. We had the learning tree of Chris Jericho, and he came out and so. This is what I'm hearing online, because I'm getting a lot of people online that's been throwing this around. They're saying Jericho is doing a CM Punk. And I'm like, what? Like, yeah, you know how CM Punk wanted people to like learn from him and ask him questions. Jericho's doing that as a gimmick. And I'm like, I don't think so. It's more of him leaning into the Jericho meme of how we all say he ruins young wrestlers. But a lot of people have been saying this is just like a CM Punk gimmick, that CM Punk is delusional and he wanted people to learn from him, and this is what he's doing. If that's a thing, why does CM Punk live so heavily in AEW's mind? Seriously. If that's really a thing, that's just AEW just in love with CM Punk. Because that makes no fucking sense. Yeah. It makes no fucking sense. It makes no sense at all. It would be the dumbest thing ever, but hopefully, this is just Jericho being self-aware of what they say on the internet, and that's why he's making this gimmick.
Either way, it's a shit gimmick.
Oh, it's
whatever we look at, in my opinion.
It's completely shit, because as he's talking, Big Bill comes out, and he's like, what, do you want to fight me? And Big Bill goes, no, I want to sit under the learning tree of Chris Jericho. I want to learn from you. It's like, okay. I'm not a huge fan of Big Bill. And especially with Jericho.
I was saying, I have never been a fan of Big Bill. Like, he's always paired with somebody and always gets outshined by the person he's like teamed up with. Enzo. Yeah. The fucking Firm. And whatever. All those guys were way better than him. And most of them were jobbers. The Guns, for example. The Guns were better than him in that group. Stokely just mentioned him. Ricky Starks, yeah.
Yeah.
MJF, because MJF was the leader of that thing at one point.
Yep. So, yeah, he sucks.
Yes, so absolutely.
Then we had Don Callis. And Don Callis is mad at Ospreay because he wouldn't finish the guy off with the Storm Driver, which he said he retired because of the whole Bryan Danielson thing. And he's just berating Will Ospreay, which I just want him to get away from this. Like, I need Will Ospreay to just be normal by himself. Get away from this. Like, fuck this shit. Just get away.
Do you see Kyle turning on him, or do you see Kyle, like, leaving with him?
You can kind of see Kyle just like looking at him, trying to be like, yo, bro, like, I understand. But like, I think Kyle is going to wind up leaving eventually. Not when Will leaves. Will's going to leave, and then Kyle's going to eventually leave, because he's going to remember what the fuck he's there for, and this is bullshit. So yeah, he's going to leave after Will leaves. So
cool.
That's the thing. So then, this was not on Dynamite, but this was on the internet. We got the Grizzled Young Vets are coming to AEW. So that's a great thing. Grizzled Young Vets are coming. And back to the show, we had Moxley defend the IWGP Championship against Will Hobbs. I'm not going to get too much into this, but he beat Will Hobbs. And it looks like during the match, Will Hobbs got injured.
His knee, right?
Yeah, it looks like his knee got injured. So after he beats Will Hobbs, Takeshita comes out, and Takeshita challenges him. So to a lot of people who don't know, they just think that, oh, Takeshita came out and just, he said something. No, that according to the New Japan tradition and rules, that's literally a challenge. Like, this is a challenge for the title because he came out, he looked at the champion, made the belt motion. That's the challenge. Like, that's a challenge for the title. So it's going to be Moxley versus Takeshita sometime for the IWGP Championship.
That's always been a thing.
Yes. And they even have an IWGP Championship graphic for this thing.
Yeah, that threw me off. I'm like, you had that? Oh, shit.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not going to say too much about it and just move on. But yeah, that happened. So then we get to the main event or the main event segment, because we have Tony Schiavone comes out. Tony Schiavone just says, guys, here goes Jack Perry. And Jack Perry comes out. Everybody fucking loves him. Dude, so even though it was really wrong of playing the footage because it was done out of spite, it wasn't done to promote Jack Perry. It was done out of spite. Mm-hmm. Let's get that straight. But it did work. Okay. It worked to get Jack Perry over, because now everybody likes Jack Perry.
All of a sudden, right?
Yeah, it's like people love Jack Perry or hate Jack Perry. So then Tony Khan comes out. And he's talking to Tony Khan, and he says he wants to be back. Tony Khan says nothing. Then all of a sudden, he just punches Tony Khan in the stomach. He hugs him, looks in the camera, then he just punches him in the stomach. So, yeah, that was a thing. Then the Bucks came out, and Okada, and the Bucks held his hands up. They were about to do the EVP trigger on him, but Okada stopped him. He stops him. They stop. Then they do the TK driver on Tony Khan. So Tony took a bump and they just left him there and ran off. Then the whole locker room came out, included Tony Khan's dad, which was the best part of that.
I didn't even know it was him. It fucked me up. When you pointed it out, I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, his dad came out and looked around and was like, oh, okay. That was awesome. But yeah, like, that was a thing. So how do you feel about that angle?
I don't like it. That's all I say. I don't like it.
So
it's stupid. The one question I have for you, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did it come across to you? Because, like, I had a weird feeling. Jack's the leader? Like, I kind of felt that.
Why did you feel Jack was a leader?
I don't know. Like, I just got a vibe. Like, I'm probably totally wrong, which I normally am, but still, I got that vibe.
No, the Young Bucks are the leader. Jack Perry's just around.
Cool. I guess he's replacing fucking Hangman then, since this is the whole new elite.
Yes, he's replacing Hangman. Yeah. And so, first, everybody's talking about how Tony Khan said he would never be an on-screen character, but he has been an on-screen character. He has, with the announcements and the making of the matches, he's always been on screen. So this was just normal. And then people are complaining, like, oh my God, I thought that he wouldn't do this. You knew this was going to happen. Like, nobody in their right mind that knew anything about Jack Perry, I mean, not Jack Perry, Tony Khan, was going to be like, oh, no, this is not happening. Everyone knew this was going to happen. And it happened.
Yep.
Now, here's the thing, though. I want to know who's going to be on his side, because Kenny Omega is going to be there next week, but he's officially not clear. Kenny's not cleared, so I don't know if Kenny's going to be in that. I do see the Elite beating up Kenny. I see them beating up Kenny next week. So when he comes back, he has a straight-up match. That's the thing. As far as Hangman, I think Hangman's going to be one. I think FTR is going to be two more. Hopefully, like, when Kenny gets back to normal, they can bring him back, and it could be all four of them versus the Elite. Unless the Elite gets somebody new, which I totally doubt that. Like, because I don't see anybody. That's what I said. I doubt it. I don't see them with anybody. So, yeah, that's a thing. But yeah,
maybe like a Swerve lot. Help him? Like be on Tony's side?
I don't know. Like I don't know. Cause it just feels off. I don't like we're gonna see what happens. We're gonna see what happens. I know it's probably leading to blood and guts, but we'll see what happens. Yeah. Cause I really do hope it does go to blood and guts. Cause like
that's the best decision, especially it's 4-on-4, like you said.
Yeah, and like I just want to see Okada in that kind of a match. That's what I want to see. Yeah. Because, like, he hasn't been in those type of matches before, so I want to see what that is.
That should be a banger.
Mm-hmm.
With him in it.
Yep. So, that was AEW. So, NXT?
Okay. It was a spring break-in, no? Yes. Like I keep forgetting the name of that thing. Yeah, okay. Part one.
Yes.
It was good, in my opinion.
Do you want to talk about it?
Yes.
So it started off with Ava, and she was talking about the draft, and she said, you know, people are going to be in a draft for blah, 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 blah. And she basically just was, you know, setting up that she wants some people, and Nick Aldis and Adam Pearce were there too. So basically it's setting up for the draft, which is coming up this weekend.
Basically, it's going to be just like you predicted, people from quote unquote the main roster going down to NXT.
Yes. So the first match was Tatum Paxley versus Lyra Valkyria and Roxy for the world title. And what did you think of this match?
Oh, it was a fucking banger. Like, fucking, what's her face? Paxley showed off and whatever. Like, she did that 450. I'm like, oh shit, you can do that? She hit a 450, fucking, what's her face? Roxy, like, pushed her off, got the pin, stole the win and whatever. Like, Paxley had that shit, so she needs a one-on-one match.
Yeah, so hopefully she does get a one-on-one match.
Yeah, it was good.
So then we had Tony D'Angelo and the family versus No Quarter Catch Mathingy Mabob.
So, No Quarter Catch Crew.
Okay, No Quarter
Catch Crew. As opposed to the other, like, Catch Crew.
Yeah. So Tony D pinned Charlie Dempsey, so now he's the number one contender, but we already established that.
Yeah, we've been said that. Funny part, though, like, wasn't the whole thing they're all the champion? They established fucking Charlie as the main champion, but had he pinned any of them, he would have been the more contender, I would think, no?
Yeah, he was, to me, he was already number one contender, so this just, like, solidified him being number one contender. And yeah. So yeah, that's the thing. Then we had in the back, we had Fallon Henley talking to Thea Hale, and they were just talking and having fun. And then all of a sudden, Jada Parker was pissed off, and she was like, "You know what? I hate you. I want to fight you. I'm going to fight you tonight." And they was like, "Okay, bring it then." So they set up a match for later on tonight.
That seems so random.
It is. It was very random. Then we also had Axiom and Nathan Frazer, the tag team champions, Too Fast and Furious. They were back there with all the other tag teams, and they're talking, and all of them are talking, and they're like, hey, I don't like all of these main roster guys coming down taking our spots. There's going to be more people coming down. This is really fucked up. And then the Good Brothers come in and go, yeah, this is really bad. This is really fucked up. I don't like them coming down taking our spots. It's like, you're one of the people. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Was it Idris or Malik? I think it was Idris. Like, he was going to point it out, and he fucking, like, broke a mirror, and everybody was like, like, oh, shit, you're fucked now.
Yeah, so now he broke a mirror, and I feel like they're going to have a bad luck streak. They're going to have a bad luck streak for no reason. But here's the thing. They already have a bad luck streak. Like, they have not won. It
gets worse?
Yeah. Like, they've lost, like, everything. I've been waiting for the day that they actually win something. Now it's like, no, now we're going to give you more of a loss streak. I'm like, okay.
Worst case scenario? Mm-hmm. Malik leaves him, and it gets worse for him, and Malik actually starts to win.
That would be really funny. But, like, I really want them to stay together, but it's like, eh. But it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
We thought the same thing.
Yep. So then we had a contract signing for NXT Underground. It was Natty with Kamra Petrovic. And they're there, but then here comes Lola Vice, and she's like, hey, I've got my person, and my person is Shayna Baszler. It's like, yeah, we knew that. We called that out the moment you said you had a friend.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, like, what the fuck?
As soon as I seen that, I'm like, okay, and...
Yeah, and they had a little face to face, and then all of a sudden they were like, "Yeah, this is a thing." Okay, cool. So yeah, that was it.
I didn't care.
Me neither. So then also we had the surfer thing. I don't remember what it was called. It was some kind of surfboard surf fun thingy.
I almost called it Bash at the Beach, but that's wrong. Basically, it was a fucking, what'd you call it? No Holds Barred match.
Yeah, it was beach themed. It was a beach themed No Holds Barred match. And it was between Sol Ruka and Blair Davenport. And Sol had one of the best Sol Snatchers that I've ever seen. Because this, like, totally came out of nowhere.
Amazing.
Yes, it was so awesome. Came out of nowhere. She pinned Blair Davenport. So now she got her revenge finally. So I'm glad.
She did it from the middle of the rope as opposed to the corner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy that that happened. And then we just start seeing all of these former NXT people start showing up. Because they were about to go into the main event. All of these people just start showing up. You're like, oh, okay, what are they all showing up? Johnny Gargano, the Catch Quarter Republic 2 were there. The Creeds were there. Even Damian Priest was there.
Yeah.
Like, everyone showed up. Like, everyone showed up, which was fucking awesome. I knew why, but it was for the main event, which was Ilya Dragunov versus Trick. And
it made it feel that much more important, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. And that shit was really awesome. Like, because if Trick lost, he would lose his... I don't know if it was his NXT career or, like, just his career, period.
It was NXT.
Okay. So, like, if he would have lost, he just could have went to the main roster or something. It's like, eh. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a thing. So then they had a banger ass match because Trick wound up winning the world title.
That shit fucking amazing. That ending though.
Yeah. And everybody was cheering him. Like literally the building was shaking because they had a camera all the way up the top and it was shaking. Like looking at Trick.
I thought it was just me.
No. It was shaking. It was awesome. Like, it was awesome, and that's how many people cared about this match. It was awesome. And they were doing a whoop that trick. And speaking of whoop that trick, which, if you didn't know, it's on the internet and it's kind of loud. Even though it was mic'd up bad, it was kind of loud. So when the Bucks did their segment with Tony Khan, you can hear some people yelling, "Whoop that trick! Whoop that trick!" They literally were just cheering, "Whoop that trick!" I was like, "Oh, okay."
So, wow. Yeah.
Trick is over in two
Trick's
companies.
So over. I'm just about to say that. He's so over. He's over in two companies.
Yeah. And that was great. I loved it. I love Trick winning a world title. So that was great.
He deserved it.
Yeah. I skipped over the Baron Corbin Lexus King thing because it was like, it was boring. It happened. Nobody cared.
It was a throwaway. I don't blame you for skipping over it. It's fine. Who cares? Yeah. In your words.
So then we go to Monday Night Raw. And Raw starts off with Jey Uso. Jey Uso comes out and he's talking. He's talking about winning a title because he's going for the title. And he says he's going to beat Damian Priest. He's going to beat him. But then Priest comes out and was like, "Dude, you're just food for me. You're just food for me. Like that. Like you mean nothing. You're going to lose. You're food. They're feeding you to me, and that's how this is going to be." And Jay was like, no. You're getting fed to me because I'm next up." So I mean, they had their little back and forth, but it was like, yeah, it wasn't like crazy. So you know what I mean. It wasn't bad. It was there. Like, I honestly, in the bad part, I don't see Jay winning, even though it would be a shock, but it also would be bad. But, like, I don't see Jay winning.
I don't either.
So then we had the World Tag Team titles online. And it's Awesome Truth versus DIY. DIY is still Regeneration X. They're using Shawn Michaels and Triple H's moves. And DIY loses, and after the match, they go to shake their hand, and they shake Johnny's hand, but Ciampa just turns around and goes, "Nah, fuck this," and leaves.
So he'll turn, I guess, right?
I hope this is a heel turn. I hope, but I don't know. Because, like, they could go either the heel turn way, or they can go, "Hey, you know what? We're going to make them split up," and which I don't want. I don't want them to split up. I like them as a team. I like both guys. That's it, Nick.
Like, well, we need a point of doing it again. This would be like the second time they broke them up. Third, if you count when fucking Johnny got him.
Yeah, like I want them to have a long tag team together reign and then officially break up. Because right now they could. They can do a lot as a tag team. I just hope they both turn heel.
Actually, like, that's what I hope. Like, I hope they have, like, the whole way thing together. Like, all four of them are the way.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
So then we had the return of the Ring General, Gunther. And Gunther came out and he said, "I'm going to be in the King of the Ring. I lost the IC championship, but I'm going to be in the King of the Ring, and I'm going to be the king, and I'm going to be something else." Which is basically saying he wants the world title eventually.
Yeah.
So Imperium is out there with him, and then the New Day come out, and Woods is like, "I was the king before, blah, blah, blah." And then they just set up a tag team match. And even Woods was like, "We've done this so many times. Like, this is the last time we'll ever do this. We've done this a million times. And this probably will be the last time they do this," because after New Day beat Imperium, Kaiser turned on Vinci. So
that was a long time coming.
Oh, yeah, because he kept fucking losing, and they kept being mad at him. And they just kept being mad, and they kept being mad. And then finally, that was it. They got him. Yeah. So we were supposed to have a tag team match. We find out that Dominic is injured. he has an arm injury. It's a legit arm injury. People are like, oh, this is a work. They did this just because. So he asked Santos Escobar to come over, and he said, Santos is going to be my replacement. I'm like, oh, okay. So,
hey, do you see Santos going to Raw after the fucking draft?
I probably.
That's what I thought.
So then we see Drew McIntyre. He sits down in the ring and he's cutting a promo about how bad it was, how he lost, and he got screwed. And then Sheamus came out. And him and Sheamus went back and forth, and Drew just starts calling Sheamus fat. He said, you used to talk about bangers after bangers after bangers, but now it's burger after burger after burger. And you're fat and you're out of shape. And they just start beefing. And then Sheamus has to wrestle Nakamura. So I want them to have a match again because I like when they fight because they just go all out. Yep. And I'm good with them feuding. Like, long as it's just like this one off where they just beat the shit out of each other and then the match is over. Yeah, I'm cool with it.
And like the difference now with Sheamus being the face and McIntyre being the heel, like, it's a whole new game if you think about it. Like, fucking McIntyre's angry as fuck. So it'd probably be even more brutal than before.
Yep. So yeah, I'm all for that. But like I said, as long as it's just a one and done and there's not a series, I'm cool with that. I'm completely cool with that. So then we have something that I seen a theory pop up online, which I 100% believe. So Alpha Academy look like they're breaking up. And the theory online was every faction that breaks up is Sammy's fault. And I was like, that couldn't be. Bloodline, Sammy's fault. Imperium, Sammy's fault. And Alpha Academy, Sammy's fault. Everything, Sammy has broke up more factions than anybody in wrestling. That's insane.
Wow. I didn't think of that. Holy shit.
Yeah, Sammy's a bad guy here. Because Chad Gable came out and he's like, yo, we're going to do things different. And we're going to help me get back my Intercontinental Championship. And he just starts yelling at Alpha Academy. And he's like, you're either with me or you're out. And everybody begrudgingly just goes, yeah, we're with you.
So it sounded like he wanted to fuck him up for a second.
Dude, I believe 100% they're gonna get fucked up and they're out. They're done. Like, this is, like, they're done.
Yeah. I was about to ask you, like, because I don't know if you want to say it now. We kind of already have a clue who's replacing Tozawa and Otis.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, who would replace Maxine? But, like, it just came to me.
Yeah, Ivy.
Ivy, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, they're all going to be replaced by the Creed brothers. So, yeah.
Yep.
So then we had J.D. McDonough and Santos Escobar versus Andrade and Ricochet. And this was an okay match. Ricochet and Andrade won because, of course, they was going to win. Who else was going to win?
Right. They work well together, too.
Mm-hmm. But, like, I mean, they're all going to break up and do their own thing, but, like, to see them as a tag team was, like, kind of fun. I think, oh, it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So they officially announced Battleground was going to be in a UFC arena, and NXT Battleground is going to be there. It doesn't hold that many people. That's the weird part. It doesn't hold a lot of people.
Yeah, I want to see how they handled it.
So then we had the main event. But right before the main event, we get a backstage thing, and they're interviewing somebody. And then two people just start fighting. And then out of nowhere, here comes Becky. And Becky grabs the mic. And Becky walks by Maxine, and she says, don't worry, kid. You've been doing great. And she was like, don't let the haters get to you. and she walks off and she does the camera thing where she keeps going, continuous shot, and she walks into the arena. So, yeah. And she even tells them, get the camera ready because I'm going to be the champ. So, yeah.
Becky's such a mom.
Yep. So then we had a battle royal. And honestly, this was one of the better battle royals. And I know people are going to be like, no, it sucked. If you look at this closely, like you would an AEW battle royal, this was structured like an AEW battle royal. Because in AEW battle royals, they usually have storylines driven through their battle royals. Like somebody would throw somebody out, which would lead to something else, or they would get revenge for something. Because, and I've said that the WWE needs to do that more when they do battle royals. And that's what they did here. Because Maxine eliminated both Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell, and she got her confidence back, so now she wants to kick their ass. So that's part of a story. We have Piper Niven and Nia Jax beating up on Becky, and then Nia just beats the shit out of Nia. I mean, not Nia beats the shit out of Piper. So it's just like, you get like little stories here and there. And then we get down to the last person, people, and it's Liv and Becky. So this would have been part of me was like, this would have been a perfect time for Liv to win a title. This would have been perfect. Liv wins the title. But Becky threw Liv out, and Becky's not a world champion. And I saw a lot of people get angry about that. Was like, you know what? Like, Becky shouldn't have won. She's the Hulk Hogan. She comes in and calls her shot, and she always gets the title. And I'm just like, dude, that's not what happened. Like, I know that Becky's, like, overexposed, and Becky wins every title. Becky's this, Becky's that. And she came back and she won a title. I understand it. I understand you're not happy. But even somebody, like even a writer said the same thing, was just like, let it play out. Just let this play out. Let this happen. And I'm just like, yeah, because there's something to this. Because the whole thing we've been saying, even Liv has said this, is a Liv Morgan revenge tour. And if they do this right, it is the most perfect thing ever. Because remember, Liv is the one who injured Rhea. Rhea wants revenge. Rhea's not coming back anytime soon. So when she comes back, she's going to face Liv for the title. So Liv doesn't have to have the title that long. But if Liv's going with her revenge tour, she keeps losing to Becky. She hasn't beaten Becky yet. That's part of the revenge tour. Charlotte did her thing. She hasn't beaten Charlotte. That's part of her revenge tour. Like, if she's really going on a revenge tour, make it a revenge tour. Bring back those stories that have been dropped off of these people that she hasn't beat. Nia Jax is one. Once she beats all of them and wins the title, and then Rhea comes back, and you're like, oh, Rhea's going to beat her ass. Even though Rhea's going to be super over, let Liv win the first one. Let Liv finally get her win back. And it would make so much sense. It would be a big story, and Liv would be a superstar.
It's much better that way, because if you do it any other way, like, she's just getting revenge on Rhea. That's not a tour. In matter of speaking, a tour means she gets revenge on everybody. Like, she was mad at Becky at one point anyway for, like, derailing her and shit like that with the whole Nia thing. And Nia, too. Nia beat her ass a couple times. So the seeds are already there. They just need to finish it. And as you pointed out many times with Charlotte, I don't know when they're going to do that.
Yes. So, I mean, they have stuff. Like, they literally have stuff.
Do you think they're going to do the Charlotte thing after the draft?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Because I think Charlotte's going to get drafted whatever show Liv's on, and that's how they're going to wind up getting it at.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, that's pretty much most of the stuff that happened. So, Yeah. Anything? You said you wanted to ask me something and you waited for the podcast. So what is it? What did you want to ask?
Oh no, it was a Jack Perry thing. Like, did you feel like he was the leader? It's like, oh. I got those vibes. It was that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this was an episode of the podcast. So yeah. No notes?
Chin up, tits out, and watch out for the shoe.